We often hear lessons and presentations that remind us of the need for good leaders, and that each of us needs to study and to approve ourselves through the Word of God and to learn the message of the gospel so that we might be able to lead others to Christ, so that we might be able to help our weak brethren, so that we might be able to assist with the strengthening of the strong and the weak, for that matter. And certainly, we hear lessons that remind us that we need leaders in the church, and certainly it is something that we do, and that we don't want to take away from that idea at all this evening with our lesson, because leaders are needed in the church. But we also need to realize that each one of us needs to learn to be followers. There are so many areas of our life where rather than being a leader, we're going to be a follower. And there are many relationships that we are in this life where, and even in our spiritual sense, even though we may be leaders, we are still followers. And we need to learn how to follow and learn and recognize this obligation that we have to teach others to be followers as well. We've all heard the phrase, too many chiefs and not enough Indians, used in the past. I think I can still use that phrase without being destroyed because it's politically incorrect. But we need to understand that leaders can't lead if there's no one to follow. And so we need to understand that we're going to have to be followers. And there are certain relationships where that following idea, the need to be a follower, stands out. And maybe by looking at those and considering some things regarding those relationships, and certainly moving our way up the scale, so to speak, maybe, as we look this evening, we can learn some things about the importance of being a follower. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 24, Luke chapter 9, verse 23 and 24, Jesus says to them all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it." And certainly we might look at that second verse there and think, that just doesn't make any sense. How do we save our life by losing it and lose our life by saving it? But certainly, as Christians who have studied the Word of God, we recognize what Jesus is talking about here is turning loose of our life here on this earth and grabbing hold of our life in Christ. By living for Him, we sacrifice our life here on earth. By following Him, we leave behind the things of earth. But as we consider, there are several relationships here on this earth that emphasize to us this need to be a follower. And the first relationship we want to consider, I don't know whether I've considered whether to do this one first or the next one first, because it's almost a chicken and the egg sort of thing. When we get to the next one, you'll understand maybe. But the spouse relationship, and I understand we turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through verse 33, and we won't read all of this text here this evening, but we take note it says, "Wives, submit to your husbands." Wives need to be followers of their husbands. And that helps us to learn a little bit about being followers. We look at the relationship that the Apostle Paul lays down here for the husband and the wife, and he puts in position the leadership of the family to the husband, and the wife is to follow him. Certainly we recognize those things are in the Lord. But notice also that even as the leader of his spouse, this husband is led by Christ. And even later on, when we go down to the end of this reading, in the last verse there, "However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and see the wife, let the wife see that she respects her husband." And we're not going to spend the time looking completely at this relationship, but we understand that there's a give and take on both parts. While the husband is given the position of leader, he also has to consider the understanding the thoughts and the needs and the concerns of his wife as well. Not necessarily making him a follower of her, but one who recognizes that he needs to give attention to her as a leader. And I consider that and I think about that, and it's not a perfect analogy, certainly. But elders who are leaders over the congregation, they are the spiritual leaders of that congregation, but they need to consider the needs, the desires, the concerns, and the spiritual condition of those whom they are leading. And in that sense, they are subject to them in a small sense. And certainly the relationship there is one that is very complex, and we don't want to get into all of that. But the thing here is we recognize that there are relationships in this world where we have to be followers. And the that's not the button I wanted. The next one, parents, and now you see why I had the chicken and the egg. We all start out as followers of our parents. But the family, when we look at its hierarchy, it starts with the husband-wife relationship and then to the parents. And so we continue reading as Paul puts this in order here in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And he tells children that they are subject to their parents. They obey their parents in the Lord. For this is right, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with promise, that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land. And again, here's a relationship where we need to learn to be followers. And as I've stated before, when we talk about the family, I think this relationship between parent and child, while it is not the same, there is a sense in which it still continues after we become adults. Certainly, we move out of our parents' house and we establish our own family and our own house, and we're the directors of it, but we still have a responsibility to our parents, even though we may be full grown. And we acknowledge and we accept that responsibility. And there's another lesson we can learn about being followers. We submit ourselves to our parents and we follow the direction of our parents. And in doing that, they raise us up, and then we are responsible to them for the remainder of our time, because it's because of their guidance, because of their care, because of their love, because of what they've done for us, that we are able to be who we are. And so that holds us in a position of some responsibility toward them. And as most everyone here in this congregation is well aware, because of situations in your own family, that obligates us to help take care of them as they grow older. And it obligates us to look out for them, to watch them and give consideration to how things are going for them. So even though we have this relationship where we are a follower, there are some responsibilities on our end as a follower that we must fulfill, that we must give ourselves over to in order to completely follow as we've been instructed to do. The next relationship that we'll consider is one we really don't like to think about very much oftentimes, and especially in our day and time today, we tend to try to find ways to avoid this. But the Scripture tells us very clearly that we are to follow our government. Now, certainly the same instruction is given here in regards to following government that is given in regards to the husband being the head over the wife, or the wife following the husband, and the children following the parents. It is in the Lord. But we have a responsibility to follow our government. We need to learn to follow our government. Paul plainly says here in Romans chapter 13, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. Now think of this relationship in light of the instruction we're giving regarding the husband-wife relationship. We don't have any problem saying that the wife needs to submit to the husband. We don't have any problem saying that the children need to submit to the parent. In fact, for the most part, we don't have a difficulty with even saying, even after I've grown up and become an adult, become my own man, I still have a responsibility to my parents. But when it comes time to submit to the government, oftentimes that's a whole different ball of wax. That's a whole different situation, man. What Paul tells us here in Romans chapter 13, the same God that created the home and instituted marriage and all the rules and regulations regarding the home and marriage gave us governments. If we resist the government, we're resisting God. Some will say, yeah, but man, our government is wicked and they're focused on all kinds of evil things, and I would probably stand right there. Yes, I agree. I understand that. But the government that Paul was talking about was also wicked and evil and was going to get worse. Yet Paul said, be subject to the governing authorities because they're there because of God. Now he tells us why. He says, rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. And I understand those last two, respect and honor, there's a lot of question regarding who those are owed to or whether they are owed. But the basic lesson that Paul gives us here is we need to submit to the rulers of our land, to our government, because God has given us such authority. And God expects us to submit to them. If, to kind of use an illustration that God uses elsewhere in a different situation, if we can't obey the rulers that God has given us here on earth who we can see, how can we be certain that we'll obey God who we cannot see? Over in John tells us if we can't love our brother that we can see, that we interact with, how can we say we love God whom we have not seen? The same is true regarding our government. We need to learn to follow our government, to submit to our rulers. Certainly, we have a form of government that allows us to protest, allows us to speak out against them. There are many places where that is not something that can be done. And because our government, our ruling documents and ruling powers have set us up in such a way, certainly it is right and proper for us to take those stances, to be able to use those rights and responsibilities that we are given as citizens. But let us never forget that ultimately, we submit to the governing authorities as long as it does not prohibit us from submitting to God. And so if we're given restrictions that might make our life a little less pleasant or a little more difficult, yet they will not keep us from serving God, then we need to submit to those rules and regulations that we're given. They're not given to oppress us. They're given to oppress those that are doing bad, those that are doing evil. Can our government set out to do things that would oppress us? Yes, but in that sense, it's going to be against our doing things that God would have us to do, and we serve God rather than men. We need to learn to be followers. We need to learn that we have a responsibility to follow and submit to our government. We have a responsibility to submit to our employers. when Paul was given the instructions in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, he continued in verse 5 through 8, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free." Paul tells us that we need to submit to our masters, and I know I put the word employers there, and none of us are slaves, as far as I know. If you are, you've been hiding it very well. But it is a relationship that fits the instruction that Paul gives here. The principle that Paul teaches here can be applied in that situation. We need to follow our employer. When we decided to enter into that particular job, we agree to follow the rules and regulations that particular entity requires of its employees. And we need to submit ourselves to them wholly. As long as they are not causing us to violate our service to God, we need to submit to the rules and regulations of our employer. If that means that we have to wear a certain thing to when we come to work, then we need to wear that certain thing. If he tells us that because you work for me, you always use black ink on everything that you write, we better use black ink on everything that we write. Now, if he tells you that as long as you work for me, you can never submit yourself in obedience to the will of God, then we can stand against that. Or if you're going to work for me, you're going to lie even when you know the truth. We can't submit to that. But I don't think any of us really have any problems with those sort of things. Whatever regulations our employers lay upon us, we need to be willing to give into, to be obedient to. And since the text here is talking about slaves, understand, the New Testament does not abolish slavery in and of itself. It teaches principles and guidelines about how we ought to get along with one another as human beings here on this earth, and our love and care for one another, that if we're applied properly, would abolish slavery, yes. But Paul told slaves, you submit to your master, even the ones that aren't good to you. You live in accordance with their rules. You serve them as you serve God, as if serving God. We need to learn to be followers. There may be instances where we become a leader in whatever field it is that we are using to provide the funds or to support our family. But with very few exceptions, we're almost never going to be at the top of the ladder. There's always going to be somebody that we have to follow in some manner or another. We need to learn to submit and follow others. Now, all of these are in our physical life, in the worldly relationships that we have, or social relationships, we might put them. But certainly we recognize that the things we can learn and the things that Paul says about this also apply in the spiritual realm and the relationships that we might have there. We need to learn to follow church leaders. Now, we're in a particular situation here. At this time, we no longer have elders, but we do have men, the men of the congregation, who are trying to guide us and lead us in the best way that they can, trying to make sure that we get the nourishment and understanding that we need. And without going into all the things we talked about this morning about attendance, the time we've got set aside for worship services and Bible class are a part of that. Are we willing to submit to the church leaders, to the men of the congregation, as they strive to help us to grow so that at some point we might have leaders later on? In fact, in the Hebrew letter chapter 13 and verse 7, it doesn't use the term elders. It says, "Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate," or as the King James says, "follow their faith." I guess I could look at that, who spoke to you the Word of God, and say he's talking about preachers here, but I don't think he's exclusively talking about preachers either. He's talking about the ones that have guided you, those that are striving to help you to grow and to increase. So we remember our Bible class teachers and our preachers and our elders and our men who will stand up and say, this is how the Bible says it ought to be. Teach us and instruct us. Not only remembering them, but the Scripture here tells us that we need to follow or imitate them. Certainly, when we look over into Acts chapter 20 and the instruction that Paul gives to the elders there of the church at Ephesus, we recognize that these men need to understand they're also followers. If elders have to understand their followers, certainly the men of the congregation need to understand their followers. We follow and assist one another. We need to learn to submit to and follow. We who are younger need to submit to and follow those who are older and wiser and more understanding in the will of the Lord. Those who are older and wiser need to recognize there may be some validity to the things that are spoken of by the younger. But certainly all things need to be investigated by the Word of God. And of course that brings us to the fact that we need to be followers of Jesus Himself. As Jesus cried out there in Luke chapter 9 as He spoke to those, if you want to come after Him, you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow Me. We need to learn to follow Christ. No matter what position we may be in this life, we have a responsibility to follow the Lord. And this idea of follow is not just, oh, I like this guy and I'm going to keep track of him. It's not following somebody like you follow somebody on Facebook or Twitter or something like that. It's imitating him in our way of life. It's submitting to his rules and his regulations. It's doing his will. In fact, in Luke chapter 6, verse 46 through 49, there we read, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood rose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Jesus asked these who were listening to Him, why are you spending all this time listening to Me and calling out and saying, I will follow you, but then not doing what I tell you to do? Just as the wife following her spouse means that she is going to submit to his direction, his guidance. Certainly we realize there's not perfection there like it is with Christ. And the man is to be subject to Christ himself. But in that particular relationship of the husband and wife in the home, the man is to be the leader and the wife is to be the follower. And that means submitting to the will that he's laid down. Children are to follow their parents, and we all understand that without any question whatsoever. That means the children do what their parents tell them to do, because the parents are the leaders. They're the guides. For the most part, we understand that we have to follow our employers, because if we don't, they won't pay us, right? Well, that's not the kind of attitude Paul told us to have. We follow them as if we were following God, because serving them is a part of our serving God. We submit to our government because they have the rule of law. They have the authority. They've been given the authority in a general sense by God Himself. And we submit to the will of Christ. Elsewhere, when Jesus talks about this in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, He talks about those that cry out, Lord, Lord. And He says, you'll not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Only those that do the will of My Father, which is in heaven. We need to recognize that no matter what our position in life may be, we need to be followers. we need to learn to follow, to take direction. We may not like it. We may not enjoy it. But following is mandatory. As human beings, we really don't like that idea. We like to be in charge and in control of our entire life. We like to be the one that decides, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to conduct myself. We run into situations, though, throughout our life where we realize we're really not the one that's best suited to make those decisions. You know, I'd love to be able to say, Doc, I don't like your advice, and so I'm not going to do anything you've told me to do because I like to do things differently. I'm not the brightest color in the box, but I am smart enough to recognize he spent a lot more time investigating how those things will affect my body, and it might be a good idea for me to follow his advice to do what he says. Besides that, I've looked down through the ages at friends and such through the years, and I recognize there are so many who have ignored the doctor's advice and suffered the consequences of it. Doc said, take this pill and take that pill and do this exercise and that exercise, and well, they didn't like it, so they stopped doing it, and their health suffered as a result. I use that as a simple example. It's easy for us to see those things sometimes. The same is true in regard to these relationships we've talked about. We need to learn to be followers, to submit ourselves to the will of others, as long as it doesn't interfere with our submission to Christ. We made mention of a verse this morning, referenced a passage in James that we have on the screen here. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. But notice what it says before that. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Above all the relationships that we might have upon the face of this earth, the only one that truly matters is our relationship to God. If we want to enter into heaven when this life is over, we must submit ourselves wholly to serving the God of heaven. But let us never forget that submitting ourselves wholly to the God of heaven includes submitting ourselves in many other relationships while we're here upon the face of this earth. Following. I'm not so sure that it's something that any of us really like to do. We like to go our own way. But it is something that we are going to have to do if we want to be with God in heaven when this life is over. Submit ourselves in so many various relationships to one another and to the people even of the world while we walk here upon the face of this earth, and submit ourselves to our brothers and sisters in Christ, to those who are striving to lead us and direct us and keep us on the straight and narrow path. Most importantly, submitting ourselves to the God of heaven and the will and the way that He has laid out. And this idea of following, once again, is not just this idea of, well, he's got some pretty good ideas, so I'll keep in touch with him. It's complete submission. It's imitation of. It's putting ourselves in a position so that we are trying to duplicate what He has requested of us and what He has shown us in His own life. But Jesus is not asking us to do something that He has not Himself done. Jesus followed the will of God completely. He willingly gave Himself so that we might have a means to be free from sin, from His death, His burial, His resurrection. It was not His plan. It was the plan of God, of deity. Yes, He is part of deity. But Jesus submitted Himself to that plan wholly and was obedient to it. And in that sense, we need to imitate Him. Here's what God has told us to do. To keep ourselves unspotted from the world. To turn ourselves away from the wickedness and the evil that this world is full of. And to spend our time reading, studying, meditating on His word and His will.
doing these things will bring us closer to God. These things will guide us into that eternal home that awaits in heaven for the faithful. Not only is there a way to follow, we're not leaders, not soul leaders anyway. We must be followers, is what diligently into your own heart. If you find that you have tried to take control of your own life rather than submitting to the will of the Lord, I urge you to turn back. Turn away from your own self-conceit that I can do it and submit yourself wholly to the will of God. Allow Him to guide your life in all aspects. If you have sin in your life, it's time to correct it. Pray to God and ask Him to forgive. He's promised that He will. The congregation can assist you in getting those things right with God. We urge you to come and surrender yourself to Jesus. If you desire to be home, we'll stay in the same.